Good morning. Today is the 33rd day of the Omer. It's Lag BaOmer. And of course, if you haven't counted the Omers yet, please do so during daylight hours. Mishnayos are studied this year every single day. Lili Nishmas, Sora, Malka, Basar, Yitzchak. And today, we are in Masechta Paro. We are in the fourth parak. Mishnayos, Gimel, and Dalet, of course, will close out the fourth parak. So we've been talking about how and what has to be done to prepare the Parah Aduma, turning it from a red cow into ashes that are available for us to use them. We also mentioned that if somebody goes ahead and uses them inappropriately, or doesn't prepare the procedure and changes it, it could have deleterious effects. It could have a negative impact on the kashas of the Parah Aduma. Sarfa shelo be'itzim o b'chol eitzim. The Mishnah continues and says, what if he burned the Parah Aduma without wood, or he used any wood, not the type we identified before, or even if he just uses afilu b'kasho b'gvava, he uses straw or stubble, k'shera, it's going to be kosher. V'shita v'nitcha k'shera. If he skinned it or dismembered it, it'll also be kosher. And why is that? Because the Torah uses the words, as orav es besara, it seems to imply the hide and the meat can be intact, or they can be removed from one another. Still, identifiably, the entire cow has to be burned. That is identified by the Rambam in Hilchos Parah Aduma. Shachta amanas lechomi b'sar v'lishtos midama. What if the Kohen shechted the animal with the intent to eat the meat or to drink the blood? So the intention to eating meat and drinking blood is a machshava psula. Right? But notwithstanding, says the Mishnah, it's still going to be kosher. It's still going to be considered a kosher Parah Aduma. And why is that? That's because such a machshava doesn't disqualify karbanos. If you intend a karban with the intent to eat or drink a part which should be offered on the Mizbeach, it's still okay, says the Mishnah in Zevachim. But had he shechted the animal with the intent to put it on the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash, right, that would be considered Chutz L'Zmano or Chutz L'Mekomo, that would have been a problem. So the Mishnah wants us to understand, in such a situation, that could have created a difficulty for us. Rabbi Yezer returns back to the entire issue at hand, and he says, Ein Machshava Poselis Bepara, a person has to understand that you're implying that when it comes to the understanding of the intent to do the Zrika the next day or away from the direction towards the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash, by saying that those things are puzzles, so according to Rabbi Eliezer, even those intents don't make something puzzle. In other words, even though these are part of the steps necessary in the carbon, and you intend on violating them, so and that is directly different from the responsibility or the machshava that you're going to eat the para. So even that is not going to be a problem according to Rabbi Eliezer, because the machshava issues are for karbanos; they don't apply to para aduma, which is not a karban. The Mishnah continues: Kol asukim bepar mitchilav ad sof matamim begadim uposlem osabim lacha. You have to understand that anybody who's performing any of the procedures of the para aduma, whether it's the beginning, the middle, or the end, notwithstanding, metamim begadim, he becomes tamei for his clothing. In other words, the one who shechs the para aduma, he becomes tamei along with the clothing that he's wearing when he shechs the para. And this is based on different psukim that come into play. And not only that, if you're involved in any of the procedures, if you're doing something else at the same time, you ruin the Parah Aduma. If in the act of cutting the Shechita, you also happen to cut a pumpkin, as in the same act, it ruins the Parah Aduma as well. Now, Eira b'psul b'shechita, so what happens if something happens at right off the beginning while you're shechting the Parah Aduma, it becomes pasul. So, ina metama begadim, there's no beginning of the Parah Aduma process, and so it's not going to be metama begadim. Eira baba hazayasa, what if the psul happens later when you're doing the sprinkling? So, at that point, a number of the steps were done by different people. Skola usik balifne psula metama begadim. Anyone who was involved from beforehand is going to become tame. But lachar psula, but if it was after the para, if the person was involved after the para became disqualified, it's ena metami begadim. At that point, it's no longer a para aduma. It doesn't have a potential to be a para aduma, and so therefore, that's not going to create a situation. So what will come out is that the stringency that whoever engages in another activity ruins the para aduma, that it leads to a kula, since the Parah Aduma is considered pasul, so anyone who's involved, that's going to lead him to be tahor. The Olam Moal and Paish, you also know that the rules of the Parah Aduma include Me'ila, and that is to say you're always going to be involved in Me'ila while it's still a cow, until it becomes ashes. Umar bin La'itzim, and you can add wood to the Parah Aduma. Umasa b'yom uv'kohen, it can be done by day and by a kohen. Hamalacha posalisva, doing another malacha ruins not only the para, but achateyasa efer. It only applies until it becomes ash. By malacha posalisva mayim, and remember, it's not just the cow we're interested in, but the water that's going to be used in the combination process. So, any doing another task while you're involved with the water, so that's going to ruin the water as well. Achiatilu esa efer, and that's true until you put the ashes inside. Okay, so now we know how the para exists. And now we understand how it came into being and what we do with it. And Be'ezus Hashem, tomorrow, we're going to begin the fifth parak to figure out what happens to the kli that's holding the ashes. Everyone have a great day and a wonderful Shabbos.